I extol those who with loving care and compassionate concern feed the hungry, clothe the naked, and house the homeless. He who notes the sparrows fall will not be unmindful of such service.
The Mormon Channel now presents Faith in Action. Hello, and welcome to Faith in Action, a show that explores the humanitarian and welfare work members of the Church are performing worldwide. I'm your host, Robert Hendricks. Today we join you from our radio studio here inside the Conference Center on Temple Square in Salt Lake City. We have a full group in studio today, all here to talk about a special project near and dear to their hearts. This group of people have dedicated a significant amount of time remodeling the home of Austin Bennett and his family. Austin suffers from Duchenne muscular dystrophy. Today we have Arden Hess, Claire Carter, and Lindsay Carter in the studio. They represent dozens of volunteers and friends who helped in the project. We also have Austin's mom, Carol Lee, here with us. Austin will join us later on in the show. Let's first begin with Carol Lee. Carol Lee, if you will, please give us some background into Austin and this disease that he suffers from.
Well, when Austin was born, he had, I'd say, a handful of small symptoms, but they were never anything that was alarming to where we thought that something was severely wrong. He's never been able to jump. He would fall quite a bit. He's had oversized calf muscles. He was a late walker and a late talker. And he walked on the tips of his toes. So we had addressed those things and got him into the early intervention programs. And they just had said that he was developmentally delayed. And when he was about 6 and a half, we ended up taking him to the doctor because he seemed to be falling more and was having a harder time getting up and downstairs and was getting tired quite a bit more. And so our doctor had referred us to Primary Children's Hospital to get physical therapy to learn to walk flat-footed. And they thought that that would cure the problem of him falling. And so we took him up there and pretty much their jaws fell on the floor because they knew that he had the Duchenne muscular dystrophy, but had referred us to a neurologist to do further testing and to confirm the diagnosis of Duchenne muscular dystrophy. At the time, I didn't know what Duchenne muscular dystrophy was. I didn't know the severity of it. I learned very quickly, though, that it's the number one genetic killer of kids in the world, that it's 100% fatal, and that that there's no treatment and there's no cure, and that although it's not a painful disease and that he will not have to spend a lot of time in the hospital, that there's not a lot that they can do for him, that it's just a slow, steady decline. And that, and so we have just learned to enjoy every day as we have it and appreciate how it is, because we don't know if it'll be the same tomorrow. But the goal is to get him to 25.
That's the life expectancy there.
Yes.
Around mid-20s for this
Yes.
disease.
Yes.
Does he have friends with – are you in groups where he's with other children with the same disease or
– We've been able to meet other families. We know a few friends who have older children, and he – goes to the muscular dystrophy camp every summer and gets to room with another boy his age who has, I believe up until this time it's been, they've had the Duchenne muscular dystrophy as well, but there's a lot of different types of neuromuscular diseases, and so they pair them up with friends, and so he gets to go to camp for a week there and spend time, and they do activities where they're all wheelchair accessible and able to participate in all of the activities.
I understand he's developed a special bond with Arden. Tell me about the
There's a sacrament meeting. In your sacrament meeting, this is something I've never heard of. The youngsters get to come up and sit on your laps. What is that?
Well, that started quite a while ago. One of the women in the ward whose husband was in the bishopric, her kids, I guess she got, you know, kids get ranked. They want to leave. And so she started letting them come up and for the closing song in sacrament meeting and sit on their dad's lap. And they'd sing the song with them. And at, when I was put into the bishopric, all my kids are older and I don't have any younger kids. And one day Austin came up, just kind of started sitting on my lap. I don't remember how that occurred. I guess he took it upon himself or whatever, and that's when he could walk.
Did he tell you, Mom, I'm going to go up and sit on Arden's lap, or did he just walk up there?
Yeah, no, he asked if he could go sit with Arden. He saw the other kids going up, and he noticed that no one was sitting on Arden's lap, and so he says, Mom, I want to go sit on Arden's lap. Can I go up? And I said, sure.
And it actually the first time kind of surprised me a little bit. But, you know, I want to step back a little bit. And Carolee mentioned not understanding the disease that Austin has. I can remember a time when we were in the construction of the home. It might have been at the first or somewhere in there. You actually brought me a book because I had asked about it because I didn't understand what it was either. And I have to this day, I have to confess, I've never been able to read the book. And it's because Austin touched me so much. It's pretty special when somebody can have this bond. And, you know, we become good friends. Austin and I can play with each other. And so this continued on where he'd come up and sit there. And I can remember as the diseases progressed with him, he, you know, there's a couple of steps that you have to get up to get onto the rostrum, and he could start. It started to be where he could barely make it up the steps to come, but he is such a determined boy. He still came. And then when they were able to acquire a motor chair for him, right now what we do, he's not able to walk. And so at the closing song comes up, he'll pull his chair up next to the stairs, and I'll stand up and walk over. And it's been a blessing in my life. I'm a horrible singer. And so Austin and I can sit there and drown each other out. And then after the song's over, we'll sit and talk about the week. And then we've also started for this last Christmas. I don't know why. I just felt Austin needed something else to do and something I could do with him. And so I bought him a little harmonica for Christmas. And I actually have one that my dad left when he passed. And then we play the harmonica where it's a horrible sound right now. But we're learning, and it's kind of fun. We sit together on the couch, and he'll play, and then I'll play, and then we'll play the same song together. And we're learning to do that together. And it's really fulfilling for me to know that he's able to still do some of these things that he wants to be able to do and have a good time and fun. And just a couple of weeks ago, I could tell he was a little tired of playing the harmonica, so I gave him a noogie, and after that, it just disintegrated. It went into just some fun, and we just have a good time together.
It must be a touching moment when the congregation sees him go up and you coming down the stairs and sitting down. There's got to be tears, I would think, in the congregation because of that.
Yeah, there are. I don't know how to explain it, but it's kind of like your heart swells. And you can just feel this love. And it's a love that our entire ward has for him. And it's something that it's hard to express unless you can feel it. And he's been able to bring that type of love into our ward and to those that are around him. And he's just a kid, and that's what I try to remember. I try to always remember, hey, this guy's got a lot ahead of him still. And I'm just thankful I can be a little piece of it, and that we've been able to help, you know, make things a little more comfortable for him and for his family. I don't understand what he's going through. I probably don't want to. But if I can be there to help, just like everyone that came, everyone that was there for a reason. And it was Austin.
What is ahead for Austin as he gets into his teens and 20s, besides the aggression and the progression? I mean, does he still stay the sweet guy that he is? What happens, do you know?
Like I said before, we seem to, and we try to take it one day at a time. I remember trying to think of what the future held, and it made me physically sick for a few days, and I thought I think that the lesson that I learned and the lesson that I've tried to share with other people is that regardless if you have a family member who's sick or not, that every day is a gift, and that we need to remember to appreciate every day, because not everything stays the same, and it never does, and that people come in and out of your life, and you have different circumstances, you have different opportunities, and it's important to remember that every day is a gift, and we find ourselves not putting off till tomorrow. I remember Austin, well, he lost the ability to walk this last November, and so he's no longer ambulatory, but he... I remember last winter we went sledding, and people thought that I was crazy because there was no way, even though he could walk, he would be able to walk up the hill. And we went, and his little sister probably went down 20, 30 times. And I think Austin and I went down 3, because we would get down there and we'd rest and we'd take a minute to try and, carry him back up the hill. But I knew that the next year he may be too big for me to carry. And that even though it was hard, we could still do it. And so we took that opportunity to do the things that we may not have the opportunity to tomorrow or next year or further down. So we've learned to enjoy every day as it comes.
You're a remarkable person, Carolee. And all of you here are remarkable for what you have done and for the example you've been for the neighbors and the neighborhood and the young men and the young women to see what can be done with the Lord's help, to see what when we join together, what we can do.
I remember when we first got Austin's diagnosis, and I was feeling so full of despair. And I remember somebody talking about miracles one day, and they had given a sacrament meeting, and I was so touched, and I felt the Spirit so strongly, and I was so uplifted. And yet I went home and I was so happy for them. And yet I thought, that's really wonderful, but I don't think miracles pertain to me in my situation, because I knew that there was nothing that could be done that could take this away from Austin. And that in fact, it's not that he needed something to be taken out of his body, but that he was actually missing something that needed to be put back in. And through this whole house project, I learned that, that Heavenly Father does definitely love us, and he loves me, and he loves Austin, and he loves our ward and everybody who was involved with the project. But the miracles do happen, and that a miracle doesn't necessarily mean to take something away from somebody that has to go through something, but that the miracle comes in providing a way for us to fulfill what Heavenly Father has placed before us. And I'm grateful for the house project and the miracle that it's been in our lives, and the ability that gave me to realize that I'm not exempt from miracles.
Thank you very much for sharing this most touching part of your story. I know it's been difficult. Now we have Austin here with us. Austin, you're really the star of the show and the reason we're all here. How are you, bud?
Good.
Nice to see you.
Thanks.
All right. And your mom is here. Let's start with your mom, Carolee, and then we'll get to the rest of you in just a moment. Carolee, you have a fine-looking young man that has a bit of a problem, and you have a bit of a problem around the house. Is that correct?
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about it. What happened? What was going on?
Well, Austin was diagnosed with the Duchenne muscular dystrophy in May of 2008, and shortly thereafter had a hard time getting up our stairs in our house. We have a split-entry house, and his bedroom was in the basement, and so we would carry him up and down the stairs, and it was getting to be hard, and we knew that he would shortly lose the ability to walk, and we were confronted with the dilemma of whether or not we were going to be able to stay in our home and stay among friends, or if we would need to move and find another home, which we were not financially able to do at that point either. And so one day at church, I went up in tears to our neighbor and friend Arden Hess and asked him if he would be willing to come and look at our house, knowing that he had a construction background, and if he could just come and look and see if it was even a possibility to make our house wheelchair accessible for Austin.
So the conversation moves now to Arden Hess, who's a family friend and contractor in the Bishopric. Is that correct?
Yes.
The ward? Okay. So Carol Lee asks you for some advice. What can we do to the house? How can we make this a little more comfortable for Austin? And your reply, what happened then?
Well, I didn't know what Austin was going to need. So first thing we did is we went over to the home. And we, Carol Lee, and showed me around and kind of explained a little bit of what she thought they would need as far as, you know, Austin was living downstairs. He needed to be able to get upstairs and have mobility, future mobility for him, knowing that a wheelchair would be involved and different types of things in the home that are associated with that. And I have not had a lot of experience in that area myself, and so I had to research. So I started asking. started asking other people what they thought would be necessary in the home, and I started creating a list of these items or these paths, you might call it, in the home, so things would work out for him.
How does that work? You're saying, okay, I'm going to need probably an elevator, and I'm going to need a main floor bedroom. Do you just take kind of one thing at a time, or how do you make a list of what's needed?
To help facilitate that, what I did first is we drew the home. So I went inside, measured all the walls, got a measurement, and then I actually put it on paper so I could visually see it and understand, okay, here's, like you say, we did need an elevator. We knew there's going to be times that it needs to go up and down. Where it's a split-level home, it actually hits three levels. So you come in the entry, and then you immediately have to go up or downstairs. So we needed a stop right there on the elevator. We needed a stop on the lowest level, then one on the upper level to make that work with an elevator. What I did is then I took that, all the items that they needed to have in the home, and I just laid them out in front of me and sitting on the couch and with my drafting board and started to try to create a plan that would fit the needs of the home. And not the needs of the home, but the needs of Austin. It didn't really work that well. it was something that didn't come right out. I struggled with that plan for quite a while. And Carol Lee might remember I took her a couple of ideas back and forth, and she would have input on it, and then I would take it back and draw a little bit more. And I can remember the day I actually kind of said, this is not working. And that's one of those days where you say, well, it's time to turn it over to someone else. And so that's when some of the miracles of this project started occurring. Now to be one of the first ones for me is I prayed about it. And I received, I don't know what happened, but it's just like all of a sudden the house flowed. And I was struggling with, they wanted to move Austin upstairs so that they could be by him. And also that they would have access to him because Carol Lee's studied out the things that may occur in the future with Austin and the care that she needs to give. And one of those criteria was that she needed to have her bedroom and a facility, a bathroom facility, which is handicap facility, and then his bedroom close enough together so that in the middle of the night, if she needed to do things for him, she had that ability. And it's just amazing the way the plan worked out. It actually flows right from Austin's through a very nice, comfortable-sized bathroom that accommodates all the needs in the bathroom, and then another door which goes in right into the master bedroom.
Carol Lee, it was a little frightening when you could see that he's struggling with this. There's some obstacles. You don't know what you're going to do next. Then all of a sudden, this miracle occurs.
Well, I think I was actually there when he kind of had that light bulb moment for a minute, because he had brought over the one of the sketches of the floor plan, and it, you know, and it still didn't seem to be quite right. And I remember, you know, different struggles that we had as far as moving the whole family downstairs, or, you know, turning the living room into a bedroom, or, and just, you know, some of the struggles that way. And, you know, and where I had originally asked him if it was even possible, I kind of was geared up for having, for him to say, you know, no, it's really not possible, you know? And so, but he brought over a sketch one night, and him and I were kind of talking, and I think between the two of us, you know, it was, well, how about we move this wall here? And then, he says, you know what? I think I got it. You know? And he went home, and then he said, let me just take this home for a minute and play with it. And then, you know, when he came back, he came out with a plan that he showed, and it was wonderful.
Austin, let me ask you a question. Are they kind of keeping you up to date as these plans are going on? Are you kind of aware that this whole thing is going on? And do you get to ride up and down in the elevator all by yourself?
Yeah.
Is that pretty fun?
I don't know how to say that.
Is there a rule that you can only go up once or twice and that's all?
No.
Oh, okay.
Can you tell them what the rules are with the elevator?
There are some buttons I can't touch.
Well, normally he has to have us help push the third floor because it's a little high for him.
Mm-hmm.
But all of the neighbor kids love to come over and ride the elevator. So there's a rule at our house that that you can only go in the elevator if Austin's in there with you. If Austin's going up or down, then you can go ride with him. But it's not a free-for-all.
Okay. Austin, did you get to say, you know, I'd like to have my room over here? Were you consulted in this at all? Or did you just go out and play?
No, I chose for it to be upstairs and not downstairs.
Oh, okay. Good for you. Okay, we've had this moment where we've kind of decided on the floor plan. What happens next? How many people do we get involved in now at this point?
This is an interesting part. I do estimates all the time for work. And I never considered the impact of what we were getting into. It was just one of these things that I felt that needed to be done. And so I didn't go through the full process of trying to figure out all the hundreds of items and things which take to remodel a home and go through it. Said what we did is we just started right in. We knew we had a plan, and we needed to obtain building permits, you know, all the approvals from the West Valley City. And so we went out and just started talking to people about the project. We let them know who Austin was and what we were doing. And that's when all these things that are hard to explain sometimes actually happen. And a great example is West Valley City, and a good friend Mike Lems went to them. And next thing you know, we're having our building permit fees waived. And West Valley City also brought over a big dumpster because part of the construction, we actually had to tear most of the inside of the home down and the front of it in order to make it all happen. And because it had an addition on the front and an addition out the back. And they donated a dumpster for us. And that thing sat there, and we filled it up several times. And they were happy, and they even sent a guy out, and he'd call me once in a while. He'd say, hey, Art, I'm checking up on you, just seeing how things are going here. Do we need to do anything? And it started like that. And then as we needed products or we needed materials, I would talk to people or someone in my office would talk to them. And a great example is we start with we dug the hole, and then we had to have concrete materials provided for that. We had three different concrete companies that all volunteered materials, concrete to us.
So far this is all free or mostly free?
All of it, yeah.
100% so far?
Yeah.
Okay.
We had everything in the home. I mean, we've had suppliers as far as our building materials were donated, our roofing materials were donated. All of the labor in the entire project has been donated. Everything from the neighbors just down the street that came over and volunteered on a Saturday afternoon after we'd made a mess to clean up our mess and put things in order for us so we could continue producing and working on the project. We had to do some concrete cutting. I had two different concrete cutters that says, hey, let us know, we'll be over there and cut for you. And so it was really great that way. All of the mechanicals, that's our heating, air conditioning, our electricians, they provided materials and labors for us.
Claire, I noticed you, or Claire Carter is here, one of the volunteers, one of the many, but I noticed you shaking your head. A lot of donated hours, a lot of people helping in this project from start to finish.
Yeah, it was tremendous. I was working with a fellow that does mirrors and glass shower doors and stuff like that, and I just happened to mention to him what we were involved in, and he says, "What can I do to help?" He ended up putting the mirrors in the bathroom for Austin, and that just seemed to be the attitude of everybody. Whenever we'd tell anybody what we were doing, what we were up to, the first question out of their mouth is, "What can I do to help?" It was a wonderful experience.
Were you amazed at everybody's attitude, just wanting to help Austin? Was it like, I don't believe they should go home at night and think, this is really something?
I think it just goes to show that people deep down inside are pretty amazing. They're really – people are wonderful when it comes down to the push comes to shove. People come through.
Lindsay Carter is here as well. Lindsay, you were the photog, is that correct?
Yes.
So you've kind of kept a visual story of this whole process.
Yeah, I did before and after pictures of everything. And every time anybody would come, Arden would call me and say, "Hey, we have our concrete guys coming today, or our electricians are coming today." And I was up there for hours at a time just taking pictures of the progress. And I have like 1,500 pictures of it. So
that is amazing. Arden, how many days, months, years, weeks, whatever, from start to finish? What are we talking here?
From the moment you had that moment with Carol Lee
until the last brick.
I don't know how long it took. we just did everything we could. And one of the things we did find when we're working with people that are, you know, volunteering their time and things like that, it takes a little longer to get things done. And so it did go a little bit longer than we planned, but I don't know.
I think I asked you probably in April, the end of April in 2009, and then you'd come out and he'd come out that same week. I mean, I had asked him at church, and I think you were there the next Tuesday or Wednesday, and I was surprised. I thought, oh, wow, somebody's going to help us, you know, or, I mean, make some progress. And I still don't think I really caught on for a while because I kept, you know, Arden was so simple, and whenever I'd ask him, you know, are we going to be able to do this? And he would just say, we'll figure it out. You know, we'll figure it out. Let's just not worry about that. Let's just get the home done for Austin. And so, but we were able to move in that following December so that we could be home for Christmas. And one thing to point out, too, is that aside from all of this, we had to be out of our house by the 1st of August, because they took out the entire upstairs except for one wall. I mean, they left one wall, you know, and everything else was gutted. And so there was no way we could live in the home. And so Lindsay Carter had offered her house and her basement. And so, you know, we were offered another home. And so we went and lived in Lindsay Carter's basement for the 4 months while the remodel was being done. And, you know, we had another neighbor who was willing to help store some of our stuff that we couldn't take over there. And so there was just a lot of hands involved in it from the beginning and at every angle of the project.
When you saw the first wall coming down, the roof coming down or whatever, did you look at Arden and say, "I hope you know what you're doing"?
Well,
that was every day.
Well, I think in the beginning I was still kind of in the process of moving us out, and I would have ward members that would come up to us and say, "Well, you don't have a kitchen anymore, or your bathroom's gone," or, you know, and so sometimes, you know, people would keep me in touch with what was going on when I wasn't able to be there myself. But it was always fun to take Austin over there, and he was quite excited, and he always liked to go over there and watch Arden, and
and watch the progress. And Austin and I kind of had a minor tradition of bringing Arden and the good workers over there a Slurpee on Saturdays when Austin was out of school, and so that Austin could kind of go and touch bases and see what was
what kind of Slurpee made. Does Arden like, Austin? What's his favorite flavor?
I don't remember.
You don't? Do you have a favorite?
Yeah. I'm not usually let it have it.
Yeah. Okay. Let me talk about Claire. We were talking before we started the show that Claire was here and was pretty modest about what he was involved in. But I understand you were there pretty much from start to finish and worked just about every day on this project.
I went to work for one of my brothers when I was 13, and I've been involved in construction since that time and done a little bit of just about everything. And with the collapse of the housing industry, I had a lot of time on my hands. And so when Arden and I would talk, I'd say, Arden, you know, whenever you're over there, let me know, because I've got time so I can do whatever we need to do. And so, and I think the Lord had a hand in that too, because it's the only time in the last 40 years that I've worked that I wasn't busy.
So you've pounded nails and done a little roofing and done just a little bit of everything there was to do?
Yeah, in my lifetime, yeah, I've done. I'm also a contractor, but I've done a little bit of everything over the years. I specialize in finished carpentry, but I've done a little of everything.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Faith in Action on the Mormon Channel. Today we're talking with a group of ward members from the Hunter Ward in West Valley City, Utah. Been talking about an incredible service project they participated in, remodeling a home of 10-year-old Austin Bennett, who has Duchenne muscular dystrophy. So we're tearing down the house now. We've had, an architect that's done the plans and no?
No, I just did the plans myself.
Just did the plans yourself?
Yeah.
That's got to be a little frightening. I guess you have enough.
I have enough background that I've done them before. I'm not an architect, though. Mm-hmm. I can draft.
But it's got to be exciting for you to see this thing just come about.
Yeah, it was exciting. There were definitely times when we'd come over to the home and I'd be working on something and all of a sudden someone would come up. And I can remember a day where we were working on the roof and a bunch of us were up there and we had some guy just show up. I don't know who he is still today. He just came and he saw everybody working and he got his hammer out and said, "What can I do to help?" And we did it. And then when we were done, he left. occurred quite often. I mean, we knew most of the people, but I can remember that one instance because I was quite impressed that he would come and volunteer his time just to be there.
A lot of miracles along the way. I know that you've related a couple of many more that you can think of that just struck you as this is just impossible, but this is the Lord's hand and we got this particular thing done.
The whole project was that way.
The whole
and
thing.
The reason I say that is normally in construction, I would go through and produce a budget for a home. So I know exactly what it's going to cost and how I'm going to build that project mm-hmm. to do it. We didn't do that from the start. I know that everyone that was there and all had faith that it would happen. And that's when things started happening. And I believe it's a lot of the prayers and a lot of the faith of the people involved and the friends and family and just everyone that was there. And so I think that's a lot of the reason that we had so many things that were given to us. Everything from cabinetry to the painting contractors to the drywall contractors to the drywall itself. I mean, just all of this. Over the years, some of the projects I've collected and had some things that we haven't used on it, they're all gone. I wondered where they were going to go.
On the cabinets, Arden called the cabinet company in St. George and was describing what we needed, and the cabinet company says, "It just so happens we had a cabinet kitchen that we built for a person, and we stained it the wrong color. They had, was it all but one?
Yeah, I don't remember if it was one or just a couple of small detail things that we had to have them build to match.
What they had fit perfectly with what we needed, with a couple of exceptions. They had to add a couple cabinets. Things like that happened constantly on the project. And we'd call people and they'd have exactly what we needed.
So it's like every little piece of that home in its own significant way is part of the miracles. Mm.
Carolee, do you think about that when you go home? When you drive away from here today and you go into that home and you take Austin in there, so a day goes by that you don't think about this great blessing that you're living?
No. We think about it every day, and I probably every hour of the day, you know, I know before when Austin couldn't walk up the stairs, it was hard. And even though he was mobile, he seemed to be a prisoner in his own home because he couldn't go up and down the stairs and he couldn't go to certain rooms and do certain things. And to see him now be able to access his entire home and to be able to be at peace and to be happy and to feel safe in his home is beyond what I can put into words, you know. And there's nights when we get up with him and being able to access the wheelchair accessible bathroom and the way that he is able to move around the house and the way that he's able to, you know, even our deck out in that they put on in the backyard, that he's able to go out there and enjoy the sun and be with his sister, but it's large enough that he can enjoy that. And he can enjoy every aspect of his house, and it's been a major blessing every day. I don't know what.
Austin, I have a question. Is there a speed limit on the wheelchair in the house?
No.
Can you go just as fast as you want?
Yeah, pretty much.
Can you? Okay. Now, your mom mentioned you have a sister. What's her name?
April.
April. How old is April?
She's 8.
I understand she's a real buddy of yours.
Yeah,
most of the time. You guys have fun together?
Yeah.
That's great. Now, she probably has her own room too, right?
Yeah.
That's cool. And was there anything special you wanted in your room when Arden and Claire and everybody was working on it? Was there anything that you asked for special in that room?
Oh, my mom asked me if I wanted some pictures, and I told her what pictures they wanted.
And those were pictures of?
Basically, my cousin and me or Mario.
Oh, okay. That's terrific.
Austin also had asked, he may not remember this, but he wanted his room to be green because that was his favorite color.
Okay.
And so during the project, when he was asked, that was the main stipulation on his room was that he wanted to have a green room.
Mm-hmm. Is it okay now, or do you wish it was pink?
That's fine.
It's fine. It's good. Okay. This is just a fabulous story. It just seems like something that's out of a book that just can't be true, that everything was just donated. Everything. Lindsay is going going over every couple of days and taking pictures. This has got to be amazing to you to see these guys are over there working every day and for free.
Yeah, there was a lot of people that helped, and I hope that I got everybody on film that helped. And just the process of everything that went on to the beginning where Arden had the ramp built, and that was one of the first things that we did. And seeing the big boulders, there was a big giant dump truck that came and just dumped the boulders in the front yard. And to Arden moving the boulders around, it was amazing to see everything that had happened. And I was very, very fortunate to have Arden ask me to come participate in that and take all the pictures for the project.
Anything that that you can think of, I don't want to single out anybody, but somebody that was just there almost every day besides Claire that really went above and beyond to help, a real blessing. Anything that comes
to mind?
There's
just so many of them because it involves so many trades. And they would have not only the person we talked to, but it might be a company, and then they'd bring their employees. And their employees would be there working also. And they were just all, hey, let's do this and get it all done. And it was amazing because a lot of the work was done on Saturdays, on their days off, and so they'd spend time working on their days off.
So this isn't a Monday through Friday project. A lot of stuff's being done just on Saturday only.
Yeah. One of the things that I got concerned about in the middle of the project, I don't know if it's a concern or not, it's like sometimes momentum tends to disappear, but it really didn't. There was a day I can remember doing the front entry. I don't know if you guys remember that. I ended up framing the front entry, and I'm going, I could use some more help today. It was the only day. And then the next thing I know, later that day is when the neighbors came across and, you know, started helping and doing whatever they could. So it was encouraging that way because, you know, construction's not an easy thing. There's a lot going on, and there were a lot of structural things in their home that had to be changed too. And so we were dealing with, you know, some interesting characteristics of the home.
How about the young men and young women in the ward? What a lesson this is on service to them.
Oh, it was great. They'd come over on their Wednesday activities, and boy, I'll tell you what, it's the fastest cleanup I've ever seen. You know, you get some kids that are aggressive, and they were just gung-ho, and they'd come over and just chip right in and do it, and their leaders were right there, and they'd let them do the work as much as possible. It's hard to hold back and not participate themselves, and they'd jump in and do it too, and it was a great opportunity. We had this was not only our ward, but a community effort because of the many other subs and the contractors that came in and helped us. And
so it's by word of mouth. Somebody's talking to somebody, and then, well, I have a friend, or I know somebody that has the boulders, so it's just really spread in this situation.
Yeah, it did.
Well, and I was touched by the youth. I remember there was one day where the young men had come over, and they came over and they helped work on the house. And then the next day, there was another youth from our ward who was 18, so he technically wasn't in the young men, but he says, I had to work last night and couldn't be a part of it. And so I talked to Art, and he gave me a list of stuff I could do today. And so he came over all by himself, and he wanted to be a part of the project. And it didn't matter if he missed it when the group was coming over. I mean, he came over on his time when he was available. And that was really, really touching that, you know, and I remember in the beginning, when you would be told that Arden was coming over, and you'd look out the front window and you'd see people coming up the streets carrying their rakes and their shovels and their gardening tools, and it would bring a tear to my every time just to see people walking up the street with these shovels and stuff to come to help.
Austin, let me ask you this. The day you got to move in, did you have a party? You didn't? You didn't have pizza for everybody and sodas and have a big party?
We did an open house afterwards. Do you
remember
that?
Yeah, that was a while after we moved in.
That's really fun. So you got to meet a lot of the people? A lot of people show up that helped? Or
I was only there for a little bit. I came and left. I didn't stay very long. But
I think most of the interaction was during the project, where we were only a few streets over. We stopped by quite a bit and would introduce the workers to Austin and let Austin meet the people and kind of explain what it was that they were doing on the house so that Austin could be a part of the progress. And, you know, and I remember doing the back deck when Austin went and put the little nails in the holes, and he had a whole line of nails so that they could drill the holes in. And, you know, he found little things that he could do to help participate in, and he was always really excited to go and meet the people and see the progress. And
so you can look out the back to the deck and say, I helped build that.
Yeah.
I was part of the labor of that thing. Good for you.
It just reminds me of the story in the scriptures when there was the blind man, and they asked who had sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind, and they said that neither, but it was that he was born blind so that the glory of the Lord might be manifest. I think it's a similar situation here, that even though it's, you know, an awful thing that Austin has, because of his condition, the glory of the Lord's been manifest in the reaction of people around him and how they just come together to do whatever they could to help and to make his life better.
Austin, do you know how special you are?
Yeah.
Do you? Does your mom tell you that all the time?
Not all the time, but once in a while.
That's good. I'm glad to hear that. Thank you, everyone, for having us today. This has been a wonderful experience, learning more about the incredible work and miracles that went into the project. Definitely a great example of faith in action. To learn more about this program and others we offer on the Mormon Channel, visit our website, mormonchannel.org.